Hey, 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 good people. Rashawn Ali here, and welcome to another edition of the Cool Sore Podcast. I hope you're having a fabulous day. Do I say that every week? Yeah, I probably do. It's all good. It's all good. Before we get into our next episode, I am reminding you, for those people who are in Atlanta, if you have a daughter, a niece, program participant, goddaughter, you know, someone who you know has daughters, I am having an event on March 25th at Grady High School. It's called Get Girls Sporty through my nonprofit, Sporty Girls. And we would love to invite you. It's just $10 to participate. It is an all-day, field-day type event where girls from all skill levels can take up with soccer, lacrosse, golf, tennis. We have a healthy eating station and Zumba. So it's a day of fun. It's a day of burning calories and a day of learning more about those particular sports. So please make sure you log on to sportygirlsinc.org for more information and to register. It is just that easy. sportygirlsinc.org. And without further ado, I am joined today by a cool sore of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Her name is Ivy Box. Very, very great story of how she just kind of stepped into the land of entrepreneurship. And it's really fascinating. I really, really enjoyed this particular episode. So I know that you will as well. So please sit back and relax and welcome Ivy Box to the show with Go Get Hers. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all.
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. It is another edition of the Cool Sore Podcast, and very, very happy to have this lovely lady on with us via Skype. I just love your name. First of all, I love your name. Ivy Box joins the Cool Sore Podcast, and Ivy, you are a cool sore of
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
I love it. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I am awesome. And you?
I'm doing fabulously well. We definitely appreciate your time today. You are a woman who has done a lot of things, marketing consultant. I love that you have your master's from Full Sail and science, master of science in internet marketing. I mean, you're doing your thing, girl. And you're also an author. Let's talk about why you even are interested in the world of marketing, because it's so vast.
Yeah, actually, originally, in college, my original major was biology.
Oh, wow.
And I was going to be a biology, I was a biology pre-med major in order to be a neonatologist.
Okay.
And the only reason is because I'm Haitian. Okay. I'm first generation Haitian American, and your Haitian parents, if anybody knows, you're either going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer.
Yes.
As a child, when I was 14 at Fort Myers, I was born and raised in Fort Myers.
Okay.
The summer of eighth grade and me going into high school,
mm-hmm.
right? I participated in this YMCA Yes program.
Okay.
Excuse my voice because I had a long night.
That's okay.
Jack Daniels through like this appreciation for women.
Uh-huh.
Camp, I'm in Tampa right now.
Right.
And I had a really, really good time.
Okay.
But anyway, for the summer of my eighth grade going into matriculating into ninth grade, I participated in this YMCA Yes program. And at that time, I wanted to be a lawyer, because, mm-hmm. you know, doctor, lawyer, engineer. And so they had me intern at Fort Myers Lee County Court Office. Now, this is before social media. This is before everybody had cell phones.
Right.
This is before everybody had computers and laptops. So where I was on like a typewriter or whatever, there was this judge that was like mentoring me. But I was like, nah, this is not for me. This
yeah.
is not what I need to be doing. Right. And then I was like, okay, then the next thing would be to be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what it was. It wasn't necessarily my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into college, everything that I got involved with had nothing to do with nothing but the medical field.
Right.
I was taking 2 to 3 chemistry classes. I was passing them, just passing them. But everything else that I was excited about, everything else that I was involved in was marketing, was events, was entertainment,
yeah.
was business. So I was like, my junior year, I was like, okay, mom, I got to sit down with you and have
yes.
that. That's the heart.
Right, right.
I understand. I need to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer for you all to think that, you know, appreciate my educational aspirations or to be known as somebody that succeeded in life.
Yeah.
But no, that's not where my heart is. And so I was looking into different majors, and I figured at the University of South Florida, where I got my undergraduate degree, there was a business marketing program, which was a great mix of business and communications for me.
Right.
And so I decided my junior year, long story short, I'm long with it.
It's okay.
I decided to major in business marketing my junior year. So I had to take full courses, a full calendar course all summer, all fall semester, all spring semester, just to graduate in 4.5 years. Cause I was like, I'm not going to be that 6-year senior.
Right.
I did all of that, and that's how I got interested into marketing.
Wow. What was that? How did your mother receive that, being that she saw something else for your life?
Oh, she didn't receive it very well. I would say that because I have some uncles and cousins that are pastors, right? Oh, no, she called them. And she didn't call me to pray over me and, you know, to ask me, like, are you sure? Is this the direction that you wanted to go into? Is this really what you want to do? And then finally, I was like, yeah, I had to put my foot down because it's my life. And that story actually kind of leads into, like, one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, defining your own path for yourself.
Right.
And defining, not allowing the world or your parents or anybody else to define that for you.
Yeah.
And that story always reminds me of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she proud of you now?
She is. It's funny too, because when I got into like entertainment, I was a little hesitant too, because I was like, oh, you know, it can go either way, you know, and now this is more reason for the Haitians to not be proud. But one of the main ones, like, girl, you know, like, you're doing so good. If she hears about any opportunity, she lets me know. So it's like a full circle moment.
Yeah, I know it. Like, that's my baby. You're like, yeah, what about that conversation?
Okay.
Good. So how did you even get the opportunity to be on a reality show? I mean, it was a pretty big hit for BET, College Hill Interns. How did that even come about?
Yes, I actually went to BET Spring Bling. I don't know if y'all remember.
Yes, I do.
They used to do it in Daytona, and this is around the time they did it in West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to go to Spring Bling. Let me just go. Me and my homegirl drove down there, and I saw flyers everywhere. They had the cast of College Hill 4
at
the time, Virgin Islands one.
Yeah, I remember
they
that
were
one.
There, and I saw flyers everywhere on the beach, and I thought it was an internship, because I always told my friends in college that I'm going to work for BET. I wanted to work for BET. I just didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw the flyers for College Hill Interns, I was like, oh, this is my opportunity to intern with BET.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I applied. Sorry, I got distracted.
Because I took my lashes off?
Yes.
Hilarious. Girl, they were on my nerves. I'm sorry. Got to keep it real.
No, that's right.
I just got upset. I'm sorry. All good.
You know what I mean?
Right.
After this interview, this coming out.
I know. Go ahead. This is such a black girl magic moment.
I know. So anyway, so I applied. I saw the flyers everywhere. I applied online at BET.com. And then when I went on BET.com, I was like, this is not a regular internship. This is actually a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, do I really want to do that? But I was like, you know, what the heck? Let me try to, you know, see what happens. Let me just audition for it. Because you had to send in like a video or something like that. And then while I was at Spring Bling, I had got a few of the cast members from College Hill 4's phone number. And I told them, hey, they're doing this spinoff thing. What do you think I should do? It was like, you need to find wherever they're doing a live interview and go to that place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the closest to me, I'm in Florida. The closest live interview was in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, do I really want to do this? So I was working a nine. I was working for the man.
Right.
I was working. And I had used up all my, sick days. And
right.
But I found like this really cheap flight to Atlanta like the next day. And I was like, no, I'm going to go and take this chance. So I went. My cousin dropped me off at the audition. I did I tell a story about that audition process in the book. And 3 interviews later, the last one was in L.A. I made the show. And they called me on. They called me on my birthday and they were like, hey, you know, you've been selected. Do you want to come to Chicago and tape? And I was like, yeah.
So did you have to quit your job?
I did. Yeah. And I only did that because I was already out the door. Yeah, I was already ready to go out the door. So it was one of those things where I went to the job. Once I found out that I made it, I had my mortgage. I did some of everything. So I had my mortgage broker license. I was throwing parties here in Tampa, these huge parties, and they were making income for me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when I really, really wanted to put my foot totally into the entertainment industry, I was like, okay, I can't do this 40 hours a week. So even though it was a great job, it was an ideal job for somebody. It was a marketing job, 401k, tuition reimbursement, everything. Like the ideal job. They paid really good. 5 minutes from my house, no traffic. So ideal, you know?
Right, right.
But I was like, no, that wasn't my heart. I couldn't see myself being here for 30, 40 years like some of the other people that had been working there. So I was like, no, I'm going to give them a letter. And I told them, I need 6 weeks off. And I didn't tell them why. I could have easily told them why, you know, what it was or whatever. But I was like, I need 6 weeks off. If not, I'm going to have to put in a letter of resignation.
Yeah.
They were like, well, you know, you can't really explain it to or tell us what it is. So, you know, we can't do that. And I was like, okay, gave them my letter of resignation. But I was already out the door, clearly.
Yeah. So that was probably a very pivotal moment in your life, you would say?
Yes, it was. It was a very pivotal moment. But it was one of those things where you start, it was kind of like in college, that moment when I decided to change my major my junior year. It was one of those things where everything that you were doing was not aligning to what you truly, you know, everything that you were doing was aligning with what you truly wanted to do, but what you were doing at that moment mm-hmm. wasn't aligning with what you wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. So how did the reality show change your life? And what was that experience like for you?
That experience, it was a huge reality check because, you know, the idea of reality television and being on television, especially being on BET, because that's where I wanted to be. That's where I wanted to work. And then it was a reality show that mixed, it was kind of like Real World versus Real World meets The Apprentice.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, the idea of this sounds really good. But when you got into the house with all of those different personalities and saw those cameras, you were like, hold up, this is real. You know, like,
yeah.
This is really real. You don't have any, you know, they take your phones. You don't have access to the computer unless they give it to you. Like, you're really in this world and these cameras are really in your face and there's cameras everywhere and there's microphones everywhere and you got a mic on you.
Right.
And it's, I went to college. I had a 9-to-5 job, Haitian American, member of a sorority. I was like, hold up, girl.
What am I doing here?
What am I doing here? You know what I mean? Like, anything could pop off and this could kind of jeopardize your future. So I was really cognizant of that. And that kind of shell shocked me a little bit on the show. So my true personality wasn't out there and I just went in as a worker instead, you know, like that corporate America college sorority pressure mm-hmm. kind of like was on my shoulder. And I was like, no, I gotta stay focused and I gotta, you know, represent in the best way that I could. That kind of, you know, didn't let you express your personality. So I kind of learned, like, when you put yourself in situations, regardless of what it is, you got to be true to yourself and you got to be. And that was one of the biggest lessons that I took away from that. Because I think even I got a lot of opportunities after the show, but I think if I would have been truly my authentic self during that time, I would have had even more opportunities.
Right. So you weren't, I mean, you were dubbed the Quiet Storm, but you really weren't.
Yeah. I am to an extent,
okay.
But not as quiet as it looked like I was on
okay.
the show.
Okay.
Because when the cameras weren't really around, we had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, we had a really good time and I was probably more boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke my mind a little bit more when the cameras weren't around.
Yeah.
When the cameras were around, I was a little hesitant. I didn't want them to take things, you know, the wrong way.
Yeah, I think you played it right. I mean, I think you did in retrospect. I mean, I'm sure you probably would have wanted to do more, but in retrospect again, you're like, yeah, I played that right.
Yeah.
So right after that, what happened?
After the show, I came back to Tampa and I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, do these parties, which we did. I actually did I redid one of our episodes. We had to do one of our competitions where we had to throw this huge party at a club to raise money for BET's Wrap It Up campaign, their AIDS campaign.
Yeah.
So in December, when the show was airing, I flew the cast down to Tampa, threw this big party, and we kind of redid that whole Wrap It Up. BET sent, you know, the Wrap It Up Foundation sent us items and stuff like that. We had, you know, some local artists come out there. And I mean, it was really cool. Mm-hmm. So
that's one of my amazing friends and producer, Cherie.
Cherie.
She said, hey, Cherie.
So I was doing the party thing. I was doing the, you know, putting my mortgage broker license to use. And then I got into, I wanted to stay, of course, in the music industry. And I ended up starting to work for a rapper that was nearby as his personal assistant.
Okay.
With another Haitian Fresh, he's another rapper. The Hip Hop Soda Shop here in Tampa had just opened. They had this huge premiere, and I started working with them. And then I started working with a hip hop artist here.
Okay, good, good. So you've just been on the grind ever since, just making it happen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so now you have Go Get Hers, merges business, marketing, multimedia, entertainment, and philanthropy with purpose. Tell everybody about that.
The book or?
Yeah, this is your whole movement.
My whole movement is, I think even in the hip hop industry, and that's one of those situations, I think God speaks through me through the things that I do, I guess, mm-hmm. because he definitely gives me those huge signs, because even in the hip hop industry, I love, you know, hip hop, I love music, I love entertainment. But while I was there, I think that's where I honed in my whole, my girl power.
Yeah.
Because you know, when you get into this type of industry, all you see is men.
Yes.
Around men.
Yep.
You know, it's a male-dominated thing. The opinions of everybody else is based from the eyes, viewpoints of men. And some of the things that you would see some of the ladies doing and getting into, you're like, do I really, like, am I, like, when they look at me, because I remember there was this time when I went to this music video shoot with the artist. I'm there as his assistant. And I walked into the elevator, and some guys came into the elevator, and they were like, oh, hey, are you one of the girls for the video? Like, are you one of the video chicks? And I'm like, oh, no. I'm here working. Do I look like a video? I mean, I had my hair and my makeup on, but, you know, I had on clothes.
Right.
I was just like, is that what they see? If you're hanging around, you know, is that what they see? And then some of the things and some of the music, I was like, you know, I'm over here talking to girls and trying to empower young girls. And then I'm over here, you
fighting the fighting off the stereotype.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Talking, handing out Busted Baby singles.
Yeah.
And there were like some other elements after that, but that made me kind of really think about women empowerment and women in the industry. And I had started this whole marketing mamas thing where I wanted to get all the women in the industry to come together and do this conference. This is before this whole, you know, girl power boss chick movement even mm-hmm. started. I wanted to do that. And that was one of the ideas that I got from working in that industry.
Yeah.
And that spearheaded this Go Get Hers movement.
Right.
It kind of morphed into the whole Go Get Hers movement.
Mm-hmm.
And Go Get Hers stands for happiness, education, respect, success. Because mm-hmm. when I was first in the music industry and doing all of that stuff, coming out from the reality show, throwing parties, doing my real estate thing and everything like that, I was like, I felt like a boss chick, like, you know, like ego on high, like, I was on my game, and that's really what the book initially was going to be about, being a boss chick and doing all this stuff. And then throughout the years, you go through all these ups and downs, physical, mental, spiritual, relationship, all of that stuff, ups and downs. So then it's like now the book kind of transformed into a more holistic thing.
Yeah.
It's not just about this girl that's on top of her game business-wise or whatever. You could be a wife. You could be a mother. You don't have to be a famous person. You could be a regular person. But we all go through these ups and these downs, and we all need to empower and inspire ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading all these self-help books and listening to these self-help audiobooks, and I was like, I need something that has all of this information in one book as a reference guide for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, if I can use it as a reference guide for myself, then somebody else could as well. And so I was like, you know what? Girl, sit down and write this doggone book. Because I've been talking about it. It's been in my mind. It's been planted in my mind since I started working in the industry. And then years later, procrastinating, you know, always thinking about it at the back of your mind, but not really sitting there and getting it done. And I finally just sat there and got it done. And what took like 10 years of me thinking about it and writing things down here and there, it took like less than 10 days to actually write.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it just flowed. It just truly flowed.
It just flowed.
Yeah.
Every single day I was like, all right, I would wake up early. Like, that's all I could think about, you know, and all the way till at night. Then I go to sleep and I get back up and I write. And it just, it came out.
That is great. And now it's ready for the world. I mean, so what can people walk away? I mean, obviously we know what people can walk away from, what they will get from the book, but what do you hope they get from the guide?
I hope that, because the tagline is what you want, when you want it, how to get it, make it happen. And it's really about, you know, throughout the stories I've been telling you, it's really about finding who you are, being okay with who you are, and moving forward as such, accepting it. Not just saying like, okay, these are my insecurities, these are the things that I'm proud of, and then, you know, you moving forward and just doing what you got to do. Is really you accepting who you are as you are, right? Mm-hmm. And then moving forward with that. And I hope that people understand that you have to, and people hear this all the time, your cup has to be full in order for you to, you know, for the overflow.
Yes,
overflow,
yes.
With other people. And that's what I want people to do. And it's not about, it's not about little things that you're accomplishing to get to fill that cup. It's all about the work that you're doing with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Everybody has social media, and to them, they feel filled when they get this car, when they get these red bottoms, when they get a lot of followers. But at the end of the day, when they lay down at night, they still feel empty.
Mm-hmm.
So they think and checking off these goals is what's filling them, but that's not what it is. You got to fill yourself internally, physically, mentally, spiritually, what you want to do. And it's a constant thing. You're never going to be 100% Rashan Ali. I'm never going to be 100% Ivy Box. But the fun part is working towards that every single day and recognizing that you're doing that every single day.
Yes. Do you think you've always been like this, or your experiences have made you like this?
I think for the most part, I've always been like that. I think all my experiences have honed it, and it gave it like a definition of voice.
Yeah.
It gave it a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I do have to ask a question. Was the artist Plies?
Yeah. He's from Fort Myers. I'm from Fort Myers.
Yeah,
I ran into him way like years before he was Plies. I ran into him. But then when he turned into Plies, I didn't know that I knew him. We ran into each other at like the Hard Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I know you. And after that, we just kept in contact. And then when he needed an assistant, I was there.
Yeah. I've had a chance to interview him several times when I was in radio. So, yeah, I know. Yep. I know all about it. So I was like, when you said Busted Baby, Fort Myers, I was like, yeah, it's got to be Plies. Okay. All right. So in 2004, you became a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated via the Zeta Upsilon chapter. Did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you, or did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Well, I like to say this.
flips hair.
I mean, because I've always been called Ivy since I was little, right?
Right.
My name is Irene. I shouldn't even tell y'all my government name, but but since I was little, since kindergarten, since whatever, people always called me Ivy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything. There's nobody in my family that was Greek. Now my sister's a Delta,
okay.
Oddly enough. There's nobody that was Greek in my family. I didn't know anything about Greek life. I started hearing about it a little bit in high school. And then my senior year in high school, my guidance counselor referred me to all of these Greek scholarship banquets.
Oh, okay.
So the Zetas had one, the Deltas had one, the AKAs. The AKAs were like the last one. And they had like, they gave me money, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
then they had this nice little elaborate, you know, banquet thing at a golf course. And I was like, ladies seem cool. Like, you got to be a college student to join this organization. I was like, well, I'm going to college next year, so, you know, maybe I'll look into that. And then the summer, right before my freshman year in college, I did this summer program because I was a part of College Reach Out. And my guidance counselor was an AKA and an Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which worked out perfectly for me because this is right before I started my freshman year in college. So I could still be a naive high school student.
Yeah.
All kind of questions.
Right.
Well, I heard this and I heard that. And what is this? And what is that? And they answered it, you know, going into my freshman year of college, I was able to like observe and know not to go to nobody else's stuff. So y'all know I'm just going to y'all's stuff. So y'all know who, you know, that right. I'm interested. Had to walk around with my government name because, you know, they wasn't having that.
Right.
I knew to introduce myself, you know, in my full government name. And then I guess after a while they chose me.
Yes.
I was slick and I chose them first, but I let them, you know,
right, right, right. In fall 04. So you were number six. How many were on your line?
18. Yes.
That's a good number too for a PWI. That's a good number.
It was a bit much.
Yeah, for y'all, right? Yeah, I know. You know, for that, 18 at a black school, like, fam, you've been like, what? Nah, it would never happen. That's awesome. So are you still very close to your line sisters?
I am. You know how we segment off.
Oh, of course.
While you keep in touch with everybody all the time. But our undergraduate chapter, actually tonight, they do this thing called AKA Exclusive, where they invite everybody back to the chapter and everybody gets to reunite that way. So... But yeah, there's a few of them that's here in Tampa that I'm really close with. My line sister, my back, she's in Charlotte. So I'm always, you know, hanging out with her.
Good. I love the fact that you are part of an interest group trying to start a graduate chapter.
Yeah, actually got approved.
You got approved. Congratulations. Good. Can you share now or no?
I think so, because the plan, yeah, I think so. So we've gotten approved. The chartering date is June 30th.
That's awesome.
In Tampa. So, you know, eventually I'll be selling tickets. So hit me up, people.
Yes, good.
You know, so, awesome. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So that should be, it should be interesting, because the graduate chapter that's here is the graduate chapter that was over my undergraduate chapter. And I was a member of that chapter for several years. Mm-hmm. And I became inactive. And then I wanted to get back. And when I heard about this opportunity, I was like, nah, because, you know, it was time for a change.
Yeah, of course.
And when I heard about this opportunity, I was like, let's do it.
Yeah, my ex-boyfriend's mother is in that Tampa chapter. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I will ask you later.
Right. Last name Carrington. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So what is your definition of cool?
My definition of cool is you being who you are. You being your true self.
Good. And I think that's definitely who you are. You've been that way, especially since you made that major switch and had to tell your mama. But that changed everything. So how can people get the guide and tell everybody else all the other things that you have going on? I love you. First of all, I love your name, your moniker, Ivy Box. I just love it. Yeah, I love it. So yes, how can people find out more?
Box.
Yes.
They can find me on the book itself is on all the platforms, Amazon, Barnes and Noble's online. You can get it from Amazon. You can purchase it also from my site. Every book that's purchased from my site is autographed.
Oh, good.
It comes, you know, like some little freebies. Mm-hmm. And my website is missivybox.com. That's MSIVYBOX.com. So they can purchase the book there, and they can find out more information about me and what I have going on.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of stuff. I do have a nonprofit called Voice the Movement.
Yes.
Incorporated, and we've been around since 2014. One of our big things that we do every year is a youth empowerment workshop, and so we switch it off. So we do this all girls event. It's called Flawless Girls Empowerment Workshop. Then we did a boys and girls, which is Fearless and Flawless, and then we did an all boys, which is Fearless.
Love it.
Yeah, and they're all acronyms. You know, clearly I love a good acronym.
Right.
So they're all acronyms. And this year in April, coming up April 14th, I will be doing the Fearless and Flawless Boys and Girls Empowerment Workshop in Fort Myers for the first time.
Good.
So I'm excited about that. That should be interesting. We're hoping to have 200 kids, 100 boys, 100 girls, and about 50 adult volunteers. So I'm really looking forward to see how that's going to go. You know, I got to give back to my hometown.
Yes. That's great. I'm so glad that you're a giver. I think that's very important. You know, I say it all the time. Giving is the rent we pay for living. I say it on my show here, Sister Circle. I just believe it. And you're living in that light.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. Well, congratulations on everything. If you could say what's next for you, obviously you have a big event April the 14th, but what is next? What is next in your empire of Ivy Box?
Oh, so the sky's the limit. Yeah. The sky is not the limit. It's only the beginning. That has been my tagline for a while. The sky is not the limit. It's only the beginning. So I welcome any opportunities that are meant for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to limit myself at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Go-Getters Guide, since the beginning, it's always been a part of I trademarked it so that eventually I will be able to license it out, and we're going to make different versions of the Go Gear. So this is like a culmination book. Like, it's just a general book that kind of gives you like a nice guide that you can reference. But eventually we want to go do like the four dummies and the chicken noodle soup. So you have to go get his guide to starting your own business, to go get his guide to marketing, to go get his guide to.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's the next step. I'm putting that out there.
Yeah.
Nowadays how the universe works, you know, you put something out. I don't see all these social media influencers. They'll be on their Snapchat, whatever, and say, "Hey, I need this," and it comes to them. So I'm putting that out there. So any of y'all, you know, that want to help us with that, and just expanding that entire brand and making that a whole movement. Continue doing the things that I'm doing with my nonprofit, and eventually going out on tour. So we have like this book signing tour that's coming up, and hopefully it'll lead to like a bigger speaking tour. But yeah, and I do want to go back to the schools, because you know that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
High schools or the colleges or whatever, because I have so much experience that I want to impart, and I know that you can soak up a lot of information from the youth as well.
Yes.
So, change to me. And the more people I can reach, the more people can reach me. So
yeah, that's great. Well, I'm super proud of you. This has been an enjoyable chat. And continued success to you, Soror Ivy Box.
Thank you so much for taking the time out to interview me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. Ivy Box, everybody.
What's up, world? This is your girl, Miss Ivy Box, and I am the author of the 365 Go Get Hers Guide, and I am a cool Soror of Alpha, Kappa Alpha, Sorority Incorporated.